What's up, dog? What's good with it, man? Respect. Number of respect.
Hold on, my G. Good to see you, boy. Good to see you again. Yes, sir.
Just gradually just walk in this bitch.
He walk in talking.
Just talking. Talking.
All right, come on, let's do it. Where y'all want me? Here?
Right there.
Wherever you want to be, baby.
Here? Right here?
Right arm toes.
Oh.
Put the pillow behind you if them feet can't hit the ground.
Fucking man. I'm a fucking man. Right? You want to fucking start that? You got to remember that. Hey,
men come in all sizes, bro.
100%.
I'm telling you now, you got to think who you deal with. You want to start? You want to start? I'm fast. Those shots, listen, those shots come fast. Hey. You won't know. You start to look up and wait, man. All right, it's enough. It's enough.
Nobody's ever questioned your manhood, though.
Listen. Okay, I'm ready.
You ready? Let's go. All right, cool. I mean, he said he ready.
Hey, guys, don't fuck this up.
He told you.
All right, this is a big opportunity. Don't fuck this up, okay?
Is it that big of an opportunity?
It's a big opportunity.
It's a podcast, little opportunity.
This podcast is about to after this right here, all
bro,
right?
Hey, bro, I've watched your podcast.
This is going to go. I don't have a podcast. If I had a podcast, I'd shoot myself.
Heart to heart? What is that? What's heart to heart?
It's a talk show.
Your talk show?
Yes, not a podcast. Come
we
on,
kill
guys.
Your we kill your numbers.
The talking media.
We kill your numbers.
Well, do you own this?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, do you have a distribution and media outlet for it?
No, we don't.
Oh, that's weird. I do.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I father here to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On a mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I father here to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On a mission, got me up.
Welcome to the pivot, man. Shoot, this guy needs no introduction. This is Kevin Hart, man of many jobs. We got Young Chan. Freddie T. First off, I'm going to be serious before the show starts because I know where this is going. NFL family, we lost our brother in Jimmy Williams recently. He graduated in 1997 from high school in Louisiana with me. He married one of my good friends from college. And she reached out to me and told me how proud she was that we were doing this show and how much it helped. And she said she thought about that after Jimmy passed, that you should give people their love while they're still here. So to Chandra and Ace, his son, to all of his family members, we're praying for you guys. God bless you all. And so we dedicate this show to you. And obviously, it's the biggest show we've ever done. And that's why I wanted to do it here.
Strong. Strong, man. First of all, RIP and prayers to the family. I do want to start off, man, by simply showing you guys a little bit of love. Like, I'm doing this because, A, I'm a fan, but, B, I love to see us move and navigate in this space of entertainment differently, right? And when you got people that are doing groundbreaking things, well, you support it by adding to the groundbreaking moments, right? Like the people that you got coming on your show, the discussions that you guys are having, not for 1 minute, please don't think that it's not impactful or necessary. You guys have discovered a way to be new in a lane and space where so many are. And that's a big deal. So I'm here simply because I love and support the thing that you're doing, but also because it's dope. So I want to take a moment to give you guys your flowers at the top. We'll get in, we'll talk. But you guys are doing some dope shit, which is why we're doing what we're doing now.
Love it.
All right?
Love it.
That's
now,
it.
Appreciate you. And now we appreciate that. And this is different for me. So we were on First Take at FAMU. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Together. We both killed
nice
Stephen
A. Nice suit that day, by the way.
Thank you.
Very nice
much,
suit.
Man.
That day.
You told me it was tight when we stood
no,
up.
No, it was you weren't snug. You weren't snug, but it was a good suit. By the way, a tailored suit is the right suit.
Yeah.
That's why we was on Stephen A. That's what I remember about the FAMU day. Nice suit.
Appreciate it. But you coming off of really what's historic. I saw you with Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, and you've now grown into what is a megastar in many different medias, man. I mean, you have shows and you do movies and Netflix series and all of these different things. Where did that work ethic start, though? Because I watched the docuseries and it's Laugh Factory and small clubs and those things. Did that set the foundation to have you where you are, where you got your foot on their neck and you still ain't letting up?
It's the discovery. I think it's a discovery of the opportunities that present themselves based off of what you're willing to work for, right? There's a lot of talk about what you want to do, about what you can do, but the energy and effort that goes behind that sometimes doesn't match. What I found out early on is I said, look, if I want to do something and I'm willing to actually go out and put the effort and actions behind it, well, my chances of executing in said thing or on behalf of said thing, well, they're actually real. And I set baby steps, you know, little baby goals, not big ones, but small ones. And oh shit, what I'm saying and I'm doing, I'm actually achieving. And the goals get bigger. They get bigger. They get bigger and bigger. So I found out that your worst enemy is you and your ability to stay true to the thing that you want to do. If you lie to yourself and cheat yourself, well, then you're not fooling anybody but yourself. But if you actually get up every day and you got that action and you got that energy that's like, I have to go and do this because I'm trying to get here. And you know every day you're working towards that, well, you're going to get there. It may take you longer. Some may do it shorter, but you're not going to lose. Right. So I got addicted to winning. And I found that you can win more when you surround yourself with more winners. I found that putting yourself in the environment of motivational, inspirational personnel, people that just want shit out of life, it's addictive. You get that, like that rubs off. So my surroundings changed. My ideas grew. My wants grew. And, you know, now you're looking at a guy that quote unquote is a mogul, but I'm building. And I'm building with amazing talent, amazing personnel.
With all you got going, bro, that's a crazy thing, bro. The movies, the Heartbeat Productions, mm-hmm. all the stuff you're doing, man, stand up, mm-hmm. tours and all that. Most importantly, family.
Mm-hmm.
Got kids, married.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel as if something has to sacrifice? Are you short stroking any of those opportunities?
It's a gift and a curse. You can't want the bells and whistles and not understand the sacrifices that come with it. You know, some things are going to be a little tougher, right? Like now I'm at a point where I can give my family more time. I can be more available, but the work that goes into building things, sometimes you gotta be hands-on until you don't have to be. And the grind that goes with that is one that's necessary. So when you talk about Heartbeat, right? You're talking about what started off as a production company where I was just developing ideas and selling ideas and being a producer on things, but it was going to another entity. I figured out that I can be my own entity. So growing Heartbeat to the point where, you know, we're a company with a valuation of $700 million now. We're full-fledged media. I'm a functional media outlet. TV, film, radio. If it's advertising, is it unscripted, scripted, whatever that thing is or that thing may be, I now have the ability to outsource new talent, create opportunities for, and make things happen. I am now a bridge to success for some. That's different. That's the bigger side of the win. And that only grows, right? I'm not that if I don't see Tyler Perry, if I don't see Hove, if I don't see Oprah. Like, if you don't see the people that have built things and that have put a blueprint out there, you can ignore it or you can go, oh, shit, it's doable. I chose not to ignore it. So in doing that, all right, you gotta sacrifice a little bit. I'm tired. Yeah, I'm a little stressed out at times, but I'm 43. What's my end goal? Where am I trying to get and when do I wanna be there? By the time I'm 50, maybe I'm relaxed and my feet are up and I'm not fucking working another day and neither is my family. Maybe I'm building generational wealth. Maybe I'm changing a narration that's attached to me, my household, and what's coming after. It's all about what you want and what your end goal is. You know, this isn't for other people. I'm not working and busting my ass for the benefits of others. I'm trying to create and change something so that other people coming after can go, oh, fuck, we can either do that same thing or we can go past it.
Even RC started off, and you mentioned the people that came before you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the Eddie Murphys and the Bernie Macs. They're not doing it to the scale in which you did it
mm-hmm.
because they didn't have the production part of it, but they went from comedic stand-up, you know, to movies and everything else. And I'm pretty sure like us, people like to say they had dreams and visions. You're larger than life. What were those early visions And this is more so for our viewers, right? Because I'm sure a lot of them want that overnight success. Mm-hmm. And that shit, it doesn't happen that way. Did you ever envision yourself at this magnitude doing the things that you're doing right
now? No, you can't say that you have. You can see success. You can want success, but what you manifest in what you may get can be two different things, right? I want to be a successful comedian. I didn't know that being a successful comedian would open up these other doors and I could go through this other shit, but when you see it now, it changes, right? But from the beginning, it didn't start that way. Eddie Murphy, when you talk about Eddie Murphy was not just comedy. Eddie Murphy was, he was stardom. Eddie Murphy was the definition of stardom. Eddie Murphy was the comedian that matched the same energy of high-level success with stand-up comedy as movie box office. Like, you gotta understand that doesn't happen, right? Like, that synergy and that parallel, it doesn't happen. So when you see that, you're like, whoa! That I wish, I hope, maybe. Man, but you probably can never. Having the opportunity to do the same thing and be in that same space, you're never gonna achieve what he achieved. You're never gonna surpass what he did. But you can create a different conversation that's attached to you. And as I gain momentum, I realize that that's what I now was doing. I'm creating a different conversation and attaching it to myself. And by the way, so does Seinfeld, right? Like, so you have different versions that some people may realize or may not. Kings of Comedy, right? Like you got different conversations. You got different things that changed the dynamic of what we do. Comedy is an event, not because of Eddie Murphy, but Kings of Comedy reinvented the event. Dice Clay was doing it and it was great, and Jeff Foxworthy and his guys, they were doing great numbers in arenas, but people dressed up to go to the Kings of Comedy. Right. People put on mink coats, people mm-hmm. fucking had on suits. It was an event, because they made it an event. They had the suits on first. Oh shit, comedy, it's changing. Those doors are open because people figure out ways to change the locks and open them up again. I'm just changing the locks and open them up again. Chappelle, Rock, like you're seeing an energy that's constantly reinventing a thing that has been around forever. But if you don't have the talent and understanding with the talent of how to create, recreate, and move and operate so that it's fun and that it seems new and energized every time, then we'll be stagnant.
What's crazy to me, especially when you start to mention the guys that started, you know, I wanted a red leather suit when I was mm-hmm. growing up because I saw Eddie Murphy mm-hmm. in one and I thought it was cool and I mm-hmm. had to wear no shirt under it. Mm-hmm. You know, I asked my mama, could I get one? And she was like, baby, you can't do that because you ain't got the type of money to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, but you look at Eddie Murphy's life and the different marriages and the kids and now Steve Harvey, who his wife and their lives has now become some of the quote unquote black goals of what mm-hmm. people watch. But now we live our lives so publicly. Mm-hmm. And if you show the good, people want to see the bad. You've dealt with different things from decisions you've made that most times, especially back in the day, people got to handle in their house, mm-hmm. right? If me and my wife got something, we talking about it at our house. It's not something that has to be put on Front Street. If I say something wrong, I said it in my house. It wasn't on Twitter, so I didn't have to get the backlash of the rest of the world. How have you, one, become so successful despite the missteps that you've had publicly?
Because they're not real. The reactions from the people on the outside, it's not real. There's no such thing as fucking perfect, right? Like, all right, people fuck up. Right. People do dumb shit. Unfortunately, it's the world we live in. I myself have fucked up several times. I raised my hand proudly. I've done a lot of dumb shit. And doing dumb shit, your goal is to get better, correct it, hopefully not revisit the dumb shit. Hopefully you get better. Hopefully you get smarter. Some people do, some people don't. You think jail is there and has that many people in it because people learn their lesson instantly? Right. Or do people revisit dumb shit? It's not new. This isn't uncommon. But in the world we're in today, people go shocked. I can't believe.
Yeah.
Whoa, oh, who? Ha! I can't, who? You motherfucker. Right. You got some,
right.
What?
Right.
What?
you get to lifting up everybody's hood and looking underneath that goddamn, you wanna see the dynamics of everybody's car? Everybody's car don't run right. Everybody's car ain't built with the best metal. Everybody's car don't have the proper alignment to make sure that your fucking fuel injection is what it's supposed to be. Everybody got shit. But you can ignore it or not. I'm concerned with how I deal with mine. I'm not concerned with the world of opinion of others. I never have been. So when you look at all that I've been through, my ups and downs, I'm human. I'm fucking human. At the end of the day, that doesn't justify what I've done. It doesn't make it right. It means that I'm supposed to get better as I grow. There's nothing doper than an old man or an old woman because they talk to you about life. Mm-hmm. And they got experience to talk to you about life. You know what the dumbest shit is? Talk to a young person that speaks as if they know about fucking life. You don't know shit, you young dummy. You don't know shit. Right. I'm 43 and I'm still discovering shit. Like, you don't, that's the benefit of being around the older generation, right, of having a grandmom, a grandpa, a fucking aunt. Mm-hmm. The benefit is getting some life experience and goddamn wealth of knowledge. That's the benefit of it. So I love that throughout my career, throughout my life, my mistakes have been public. And I love that people can see the way that I've handled them and the way that I've attempted to turn around. It's not a secret.
Right.
I don't need it to be a secret. Nor do I need your approval or disapproval. It doesn't matter. So when you say, how do I continue? It's because I realize that it's not real, right? Like, we're in a time now where people view social media as the end-all, be-all. Mm-hmm. There's a gift and a curse to it. The gift is that it gives you an opportunity to talk to your fan base, generate a fan base, gives you an opportunity to create material, push that material, and you can do it in a way to where it's all you. And if people grow and gravitate towards it, great, you're building something. The curse is, if you read those comments and you believe those comments, mm-hmm, then you become the comments. Right. If you don't give a f- about it, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. 500 comments or 1,000 comments or 2,000 comments has nothing to do with when you walk outside and you go about your day. Nobody that you bump across is gonna go, hey man, I'm the one that said this on your page.
Right.
Right.
It never happens.
Yeah.
Because it's not real. So my process of it and the way that I receive it is very grounded. I have a grounded sense of reality. And I'm very thankful for that. If that moved, changed, I'm in trouble. I'm fucking trouble.
Bro, and one thing you said, two things you said, just the grounded part, the humbleness part, but also don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Watch it all. You know what I'm saying? Don't fuck this up. Mm-hmm. Like, and then laugh at my pain. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, like, once you started telling your story, once you started making, you know, jokes and laughing at your pain, that's when I felt as if you took off.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a decision you had to make? What created that? Because once you started mocking yourself almost, it was like, oh, this dude, like, it's that's real. When I think you took off. He's real. I don't know if it's real. I don't know what started that, but.
No, you're spot on. I mean, look, self-deprecating humor is what I feel is like the best humor, right? And there's stages. I have stages in my comedy career. And in the beginning, you know, it's, you're introducing yourself to the world. And what you'll learn, and what I've learned from watching the greats, you walk away from anything that they've done knowing about them. You know about them. Pryor is great because you knew he did cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
You knew
his
problems.
You knew
his struggles, yeah, right? It wasn't a secret. You knew about it. He was fucking great because of the raw approach to, I don't give a fuck. I'll tell y'all. I flushed the cocaine down the toilet. My grandma had it. Eddie was great because Eddie told you where he came from. He was poor. My dad was an alcoholic. He used to whoop our ass. Like, you're laughing, but he's letting you know who the fuck he is. He's letting you know who he is. Chappelle, unapologetically himself. Rock, same thing. I can go down the list and not leaving anyone out. purposely, but using those names as references, the beauty of it is that if you choose to put yourself out there, then you're making the choice to simply be you and have fun being you. My therapy is being me. Here's my good, here's my bad. And in comedy, when I'm on stage, I've done that. Now, it got to a point where my brand got to a place where it was like, okay, you know, I'm low-key turning into the family guy that, okay, shit. All right, well, let's sit for a second and figure it out. Now I'm in a space where it's like, okay, I've done that. I need to give people a reminder. This tour that I'm on now, Reality Check, is just in case you fucking forgot why I sit where I sit or why I am where I am. This one's just a reminder for what I do, right? Let me go back to a little raw.
Right.
Let me go back to a little edge. But let me make sure I'm still having fun in my craft. You got to constantly recreate yourself in your craft. That moment that I made the decision to be honest, to be personable, to put it all on the table, well, that's because I was going through a lot of shit. And I was like, oh, yeah. No sense of keeping this to myself.
Right.
Fuck it. Here it come.
Yeah.
My dad. All right, here's what he did. My wife. Oh, well, I did this. It was all, let me get it out. And a response came. It was an overwhelming response from it. So that did help amplify. But now, you know, at 43, 20 plus years in, it's not about getting to the top. It's about staying there. How the fuck do you stay there? That's what people don't think about. Like, how do you stay there? That's the real struggle, staying there. It's not getting there. It's the fucking perception from the outside of what now?
Yeah. You got the model. Yeah. Shit, let us know. Yeah, 20 years.
But you gotta get the next step, though. Yes. The next step.
I'm saying, like, that's the real work.
Yeah.
So at this point in my career, I look back and I go, well, I've been up here for a minute. I need other branches. Mm-hmm. So my branches became the business. The business became my, because if I build that, well, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna own everything I do.
Right.
I'm gonna own the space. So if this ever does peak down, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. My hobby is ownership now. Mm. My hobby is realizing the rooms that I've been able to get into, the hands that I shake, and the personnel that I'm around. I don't take that for granted. Are you just supposed to shake their hands? Or are you supposed to make more of those moments? That's what we don't do enough of. Our culture is caught up in the cool. Our right. culture is caught up in what we are. And you don't realize the reason why the other side has worked so long and why they're so successful is because they figure out how to hold on to the handshake. Mm-hmm. They hold on to the handshake.
They create more handshakes.
Those
relationships.
We don't.
Right.
We minimalize the opportunity to grow and be around and be a part because we're so self-involved. I'm the shit. I don't need that shit. I'm fuck out of it.
Right.
I ain't cool. Nigga, I got my own shit. I don't give a fuck on my outside. You see my? Yeah, nigga, I got mine too. I don't give a you don't realize.
Right.
Where real wealth and opportunities are built. I now do, and my priority is that. So the way you talk about me when I made that decision, my new decision is to focus on that. Star is gonna be my star. I can't get no bigger. I can't.
Why would you say that?
What else am I gonna do?
So
I can get more artsy. I can change and do other projects where people go, wow, he's more talented, or we had no idea. I'm not gonna get bigger. Where am I going? What's the definition of more big? Like, what? I don't need that. I'm not chasing that. I'm not chasing a bigger light.
Right.
I'm not chasing a bigger light. Right now, I'm chasing what's the thing that I can build that will last, and that other people can come through, and other people can say, I went through this tunnel, and this propelled me to doing blah blah blah. How many jobs can I create in here? How many people can I employ under here? How many life-changing opportunities come from these, the thing that I have here? How many people am I taking out the hood? How many people am I fucking providing homes for, or putting food on the table. How many families are being fed under this? The struggle when you get to a certain place is, well, what's my real purpose? What am I supposed to do with this? I don't want it all. I want all the fucking money.
Right.
I don't. It's boring having money by yourself. Because you do shit and nobody else can do it.
Your friends can't come.
They can't do it with
yeah.
you. So if you don't fucking create the yeah. things for people to fucking roll with you,
yeah.
it's lonely there. That's why my circle, that group of niggas around me, they're not hanger-oners. Spot to earn, they're not giving. Our lives changed because we made a commitment. We are a thing. That company Heartbeat, we are a thing. I want to change lives, and the best way to do that is to fucking build the thing that acts as a foundation that you can keep building on.
How do you choose that?
What the thing is?
No. How do you choose them people?
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of people, you get bread, but did you choose them people before you had bread, when you were building, when you were Silas the Albino?
Yeah, we
you know what I'm saying? Well, like, it was a too, process.
Yeah. Like, in watching True Story, and I'm gonna let you answer the question, in watching True Story, and because when you watch art, you always feel like there's some truth in it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like there's something that creative or that star had
art
to draw from.
Life.
Art imitates life. And so I'm watching that, I'm like, well, it looked like Kev then been through this.
Yeah.
And then has dealt with some of these things.
Yeah. So you have to pull it from a real place.
Mm-hmm.
And the dope thing about True Story, shout out to Wesley Snipes. I mean, that project isn't the project that it was without his involvement. But it's a Heartbeat production. That's my company. Like the proudest thing about that isn't the performance, isn't the man, look at me acting. No, I know I got that. I can do that when I want. That's a light switch. It's the company. We develop, we produce, and here's an example of what we now do. Damn, Wesley came to fuck with me and my company. Netflix fucks with me and my company. I'm in a partnership. I'm not a work for hire. I develop and create content. We're a media fucking hub. That's the best part of the conversation. My circle around me kept me grounded and keeps me sound enough to be able to think about the future, to be able to think about the other ideas. I don't get to the space of company and company growth without a good foundation. We 20 plus years in.
Yeah.
My entertainment career, I've had a circle around me. You can't get through that, so you can't pop that bubble. Don't exist. There's no new added components into my friendship and my wheelhouse. I have new people that I know. I have friends outside. But my real foundation, it's a solid 8.
Yeah.
When you look at other people that act as examples, Brian, it's a solid 8. Oh, solid 6. If you know, you know. If you're around, you know. And we know each other's foundation, and it doesn't move, and that's beautiful because it doesn't exist. Our culture fucks it up more than anybody else. We're very self-destructive when we get to the places where that financial revenue changes. What you get? Oh, I should be getting it's very,
right.
And that's a problem. So if you don't personally try to break that chain from the top by leading with the position of, we are all going to be good because we're going to make sure that we hold each other accountable, we take care of our own, but more importantly, we grow. The day that we get into the space of competitiveness, the day that our egos overpower and overshadow the opportunity ahead of us, we lose. Right now, if I ask you guys to tell me 5 music groups that are still together from back in the day, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
Nobody asks themselves why. Why do they all break up?
Money.
Why do they all fucking break up?
Ain't the money?
I'm just saying, like, that's not a, like, nobody sees this. We ignore it. Why are we the culture that's always behind the nah, this shit ain't work. It ain't working now. We ain't that. It ain't. I just heard Deezus and Mero broke up, and I'm a fucking fan of these guys. By the way, the future is so bright for that thing. That IP, that opportunity, to whatever. Then I see him going back and forth on social media with like What's happening? Why can't we ever surpass or overcome the financial hurdles that present themselves and stay connected? Why can't we do that?
It's called ego.
That's why you remove it.
Easier said than done in some circumstances.
It's actually not.
In some instances.
But when people say that, right? When they say it's easier said than done, and the ego is very present and dominant, mm-hmm. right? You gotta ask yourself, why? Why? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Me and Dwayne Johnson are good friends. You know why our shit works? TJ, I don't give a fuck about titles. I don't give a fuck about number one or number two. TJ, I don't care what that thing is. Like, what, dude, I love working with you.
Right.
You're my guy. I love you, champ. Love you too, Kev. You want to do this thing? Let's make it work. Kev, my company's producing it. You want, dope. I hope you guys knock it out the park. Let me see the materials. If I can help, I can. DJ, I got something that's coming from my company. Hey, do you want me to include you? Do you guys want to co-produce? How do you want to do it? Kev, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. Hope, can you sit down with me, man? I got a show. I want to fucking talk to you. Yeah. Hey, man, I got this thing, guys, I'm doing. Chris, man, you should go. What do you think about doing New York together? Fuck it, we can co-headline it. Let's put the shit down the middle. I don't care. Fuck it, Kev. Yeah, let's do it. You think Dave will come to one of the shows? Let's ask him. Dave, what you want to do? Oh, my God, guys, it's great. There's no egos. With real success and real fucking moves, the real ones.
Right.
The real ones, there's no egos. Because collabs are collabs that don't question where I stand and what I am.
Right.
There's nothing about the next person that's going to affect or rock my world. I know I'm Kevin Hart. I don't need you to fucking validate it.
Right.
I don't need that. I have no ego. Yeah. None. I got a fucking tequila. I'm not competing with Dwayne.
Yeah.
It's not me versus him. You bring his bottle out here, I'll be the first to hold it up. I'll be the first to support my guy while I have mine. Because there is no ego. People don't understand that there's so much room for us all. But there's this warped view that there isn't. There's this warped view that it can only be one. That's the beautiful thing of Chappelle, me and Chris on stage. There's this thing of there can only be one. There can only be one great guy. No, Ken, it can be a bunch, actually. That's why they have so many different titles in boxing. That's why they have so many belts in boxing, because there's so many fucking great champions. It's not just one. Floyd is the fucking great. He's a Hall of Famer, but other people are undefeated too. They can't beat Floyd, but they still beat a bunch of people, which is why they're the CWCEFQ champ. Doc Justin, you go.
I'm always the one that want to give flowers on the show, so I want to give Floyd his flowers, right?
Absolutely.
Floyd, he always talks about he just wants us to win.
Floyd's a good guy.
He's helped us tremendously with connecting the dots and getting people like yourself on here. So shout out, champ. We love you, boy. It's about just winning. Taking the ego out the way. We're going to continue to make big moves,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're going to let The Rock know he stay down the street from me.
Okay.
Well, he used to.
Okay.
I DM that big motherfucker. But I know, sorting through the 390 million f-ing followers, 7 seconds, motherfucker. DM. You know, no, we just want to talk about XFL and some shameless plug. You feel me?
Listen, DJ's a good dude, man.
Right.
I don't know many that are busier than me. I mean, look, you look at us doing this and how I got to come in. Like, it's we really are busy. Like, you know how people say it, but they're not doing shit?
Right.
That motherfucker's addicted to work. Like, mm-hmm. he really is working, mm-hmm. but he's not stupid. Like, you guys are moving and navigating in this space where your engagement is only going to grow. And it's because of the thing that you built. That's a fact. He's not going to ignore that. And I'm telling you as a fact. Him seeing me on, and I'll tell him. Like, it's a dope thing just to go and sit down. But you'll find it's not that hard. Like, it's like people that understand. You're not selling him on it. You wouldn't have to. So I would, on behalf of me coming on here, I would simply give him a throw of like, dude, you should. Especially, he's got shit to talk about, so he's gonna do it.
Right. I think that's what's been the dope thing about this space And in the same sense, Kev, like, we're still fans. Mm-hmm. You know, like driving over here, it wasn't lost on me. Like, I've met you before at ESPN a ton of times. It wasn't lost on me. Like, it's still effing Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. Like, period, point blank. But what we do love about this show, man, is we have conversations, especially for our culture, that are important. Black fathers is a conversation we have a ton. And the whether people try to speak to the lack thereof or the efficiency of the way that they play their roles, you are heavily involved as a husband and as a father in your children's lives, and you make the jokes. Like, one of my favorite things you ever said, very Charlene, let me get my flops. You know what I mean? Because, like, I've been there with my kids. But, you know, in having a blended family and now being friends with Tori, but raising a family with Aniko, how do you manage to do all of those things at a high level and still do this?
You get better, right? I can credit my ex-wife on growth, myself too. It's not about us, right? There's a period where your fight blurs in to the world of raising kids, and you gotta realize they got nothing to do with the shit that we had. Right. And through the course of the years, we've gotten better. We've become friends, right? We had to learn to be friends again. You know, my wife, Aniko, the idea of a husband that's on the move, it's a lot to deal with, but we're investing into this thing. We're growing and building this thing. I'm a good fucking dad. I ain't the best dad, but I'm a good dad. For real. I'm there. We talk. My kids know what I do. When I leave, the young ones, daddy has to go to work. They know why dad's working. They know what I'm working towards. They know the importance of work. As a father, especially as a black father, the conversation isn't consistent enough about the good ones. Mm-hmm. People love to hear about the bad ones. People love to hear, you know, about
deadbeats.
About motherfuckers don't take care of the kids, but they don't like to hear about the ones that do. And if anything, you guys having a conversation here and giving those men their flowers was well deserved. And by the way, women are amazing. You're impeccable when it comes to strength, when it comes to value. I bow down. You got that. We're never gonna compete. It's not a competition. But we're needed and we're necessary. Yeah. And if you understand your role and you play your role at the highest level, you'll see a return and result from your impact, from your kids. It's all about raising good people. My daughter, Heaven, is. And I mean, I can't tell you how proud I am of her. She's interning underneath my company umbrella, not because she was forced, but because she asked. My son is a representation of, I saw what you did and I want to do it. My son gets up in the morning, he takes his jogs, he wants to work out, he's fucking 15. Hitting the gym at 6 a.m. randomly because, Dad, I'm just going to go and I'm gonna roll with you, or I'm gonna go be with you. The little ones, like kids, they're sponges. What you do, what they see, they will follow. There's no bigger return of love than that, than seeing that. When I see Steph Curry and I see his dad come up to him after a game, and you see Dell look at his son with that feeling of, yeah. And then he got another son, and he goes, yeah. Like that love of, I did good.
Right. Yeah.
I did good. Like, it's no longer about you. It's about I did good. I'm at that place where I'm looking at my kids and I'm going, I did good. I'm not out of the weeds yet. You know, I still, they not out yet. You know, you get to that 21 period, then you can say, all right, at this point, it ain't, it's whatever you want to do.
You're gonna make adult decisions.
Yeah, now. Yeah, it's not, but you get to look and see the people that you raise. What kind of people are they? Are they selfish? Are they dickheads?
Yeah.
You know, you got people who got kids that are dickheads, and they gotta look at them like, you fucking dickhead. Like, they can't say it, but they fucking, God damn it, this kid's a dickhead.
Right.
Like, I don't have that. Like, I got good kids. They're good people, man.
you know, and I'm trying to do the same thing with these two other ones. I'm not having no more kids. I'm throwing these balls in the trash. I want nothing to do.
Yeah, I threw mine back in 2009.
I'm getting it. I've already had a conversation. Only reason why I can't get it now.
Conversation don't get that damn.
Only reason why
cut.
I can't get it now is because of my schedule.
I have a question. Are you ready? Because they cut mine. And
I don't give a fuck if they took them both out and threw them on the roof.
And they burned them.
No, hey, you want to have the look, though. No. You need the look.
Hey, you can take my balls and you can fucking... I don't give a shit. I don't need balls. I don't
you got to have the look,
balls.
Though.
I don't give a fuck
about
my balls.
The slap?
I don't
give a fuck. Really
hey,
stroking.
Hey, I don't want another kid. I don't want another fucking kid.
But the slap, hey, though, hey, you can leave him in there.
Hey, I don't give a fuck. I don't want another child. You can... Take my balls, and I don't give a fuck what you do. Do you tell me they gotta come off? All right, it is what it is, sir. Take them off. Take the balls off, I guess. I haven't talked to my wife.
No, hey, wait, talking about the way Logan knew. So my wife, we were kind of arguing one day, and my daughter knew I had a vasectomy, and she was very little. And she was like, Mom, why are you treating Dad like this?
Oh my God.
You already made him cut his penis
oh
off.
My God. Oh,
I said, wait, baby. Yeah, wait, God. You thought I didn't have one no
just
more?
A snip,
yeah, no, nah, like, I still got one.
But, bro, it's funny. I love that you lined it up. Even with this joke, I mess off a lot, and I BS bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I got to joke. Actually, delivery is kind of like yours, because mm-hmm. I love your shit.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my wife go to a nudist colony. Like,
sorry?
Once a year, we go to a nudist colony.
What's going on?
Yeah, that's
we go. To, yeah, we go to a place where, like, you walk in, everybody just gets naked and
I heard
walks
you
around.
Said. I
didn't know if you,
you
knew this.
No, I'm just asking you what's going on.
Okay, yeah, so we go to the nudist colony.
For
and,
what?
You know, we just kind of go around. You got to shave everything and show out. And especially when you shave your shit, it looks bigger because you gain inches from no hair.
Let's back up for a second. I just want to get clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Something. Y'all just hanging out or y'all fucking these people? Like, what's that?
No. There are swingers there. But you set the precedent.
I get
when you
that.
Get
I want. I don't know why you're not listening to me. I want to know, what do you, y'all, so y'all get down, is what you're saying?
It's kind of the question, but we don't get down, but we just like to be around naked people together.
You see what I'm doing, bro? I'm out of here.
Hey, that's y'all two conversation. Yeah. I'm going to drink happy days.
We just like to be around naked people. The one thing that gets me.
You hear what you're saying out loud, bro?
I hear what I'm saying out loud. The one thing that gets me is just eating, like breakfast.
What you eating, Chan?
I don't want, you know, they're at the buffet, your dick's by my eggs. I don't want your dick by my eggs. I eat coochie. I don't want coochie by my eggs, even though I eat coochie and eggs. This is my Kevin Hart delivery.
Yeah, I'm still at the point of you just saying we just like to be around naked people.
You don't like to be around naked people?
Be honest with you, I have no desire to be around a bunch of people I don't know just sitting there naked. That's what I said.
But some people, but the women, you like, you been a strip club.
I'm willing to bet. Women. As a matter of fact, I'm willing to bet a good number. It ain't a lot of put together people going through this room and say.
No.
I'm willing to bet you.
No, hippies.
I'm willing to bet a real strong number that you're looking at some bad bodies out there. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Discouraged.
Still nipples, titties, and coochie.
So you're just a free spirit.
I just want to see it. Oh,
free
I just
spirit.
Run around. Yeah.
You and your wife and are free spirits.
We're free spirits.
Got it.
She likes the tan. And it's not like I'm 6'3", but I just got a 6'3 dick. I don't have a 6'7 dick. Like, it's not impressive.
I don't
it's
know what
normal.
That means. I don't know what that means. And I don't want you to keep going.
It's like, no, you know, motherfucker, you want like a baby leg
nah,
like,
I
to
heard
your
you.
Knee.
I heard
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't have nothing to my knee. I've never,
yeah,
my
I don't,
dick's
I don't
never
feel,
seen
hey,
my knee.
Hey, we can stop.
Right here.
Yeah, we can stop. I don't think you have to get, I'm gonna tell you something about swingers and what you should process. I have a friend named Big J. Jay, if you're watching this, I'm gonna tell this story. You're probably gonna figure out a way. I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I have to tell this story. So, Big J Okerson. It's a comedian friend of mine from Philadelphia that I started out with. And Big J went through this period where he was interested in swinging.
Mm-hmm,
it was
yeah.
a true story, hand on the Bible. And he convinced his girl to swing, right? He said, we should do it. And he wanted to do it because the other couple that he wanted to do it, the guy's like woman was He said, like, she was fucking great looking. Like, I want to do it because I can get to her. Like, it can be great. And I was like, dude, I said, you taking a gamble? I said, that's a lot. It's aggressive, right? It's not really my cup of tea, but I don't know how people live, and I don't knock what people do with their lives because that's your life. Mm-hmm. Big J said they swung, and he watched this guy fuck the dog shit out of his game. He said, I have never, he never bounced back from it. Never bounced back. He saw, I'm telling you, man, I don't know what your thing is. But if you get in there and somebody goddamn go double overtime on your lady, you may not bounce back from that. All right, so you need to think of it all. Motherfucker, think about the first step. You better think about 3, 4, and 5. You see a motherfucker sweat dripping from his head on your lady. Yeah, yeah, that's a lot.
I don't want to see
that. That's aggressive. Ain't no going back, so you need to ask yourself that.
Nah, okay? But on some real shit, though, yeah. Like, there's some advantages to height, right? Shaq was on the show, and Chan asked him a question about...
If you tell me he asked Shaq about his dick, I'm walking
off. Nah. Okay. It was about 69. All right. Like, can your big ass 69?
Because he can.
So, like, but I think the opposite side of the spectrum...
I like to ask good questions. Like, you know, we get through the good stuff.
That's Chan.
Yeah.
What's happening?
No, but this is the thing.
It was for the culture before. Because
I'm thinking, as I'm here, Shaq can probably struggle. But I'm thinking about you right now, bro.
Well, first of all.
Why are you thinking about him?
Well, I ain't thinking about you.
There's two things.
Not like that.
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You're too nasty.
Okay? No,
you need to figure it out, okay?
You need I got to three kids. Listen, I've been married 14
You need to figure
years.
It out, all right? I don't know where the math or geography is off for you guys, but it's common sense. What do you think if you are partaking in the 69 position that your height comes into play? You're dealing with a half space of your body. Your legs have nothing to do with the 69, fucking jackass.
No, but listen,
get your soul, toes.
You are talking about the bandwidth of torso. I got a
Shaq's torso to a 5-foot woman's torso and Shaq's torso, it's not going to match up.
Do you think Shaq got a tall torso or does he have long legs?
He has a longer torso than a woman.
Your torso and my torso aren't that far off. Our legs are different because that's what people fucking... Are you serious? I gotta explain?
I know. So, Kev.
Put your leg out.
At your
right
side.
Now, stick your leg.
You stick your leg out.
Okay. You see your leg? You see my leg?
It's twice bigger.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But now, our torsos are the same.
Look how we're sitting.
But look at my head. My head is over
your
head.
Our torsos are not far off. Your body and your torso... You don't see motherfuckers with a long torso.
Yes.
You ever Michael see
Phelps. Michael Phelps has a long torso.
Michael Phelps' arms get past his knees. He's a different... He's a fucking show. He's different. He's motherfucking different.
Okay, so, but sexually...
One of one.
What about picking the girl up? You seen Baby Boy? Vin Rains with the squat?
He's been waiting on this all day.
Yeah.
A squat because I don't know if you could pick a girl up and do that and jump around the house. I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If you make the choice to squat, at that point, you're no longer having sex. You're bored. You have nothing to do with your time.
You never just...
That you said, I'm going to hop around the room. And by the way, probably one of the stupidest things I've seen in my life. Okay? I don't know how your knees are. I'm 43. I have a hard time.
Yeah, he had 17 knee surgeries. He never did.
In what world are you squatting after the age 40? Who ain't nobody doing that? And if you do, I want to know what knees you got.
Hey, Kev, maybe he had to do it at the nudist colony because somebody else was showing out.
I put a knee brace on, a sleeve.
I just don't.
He had a capitone on.
All I had on was a sleeve.
How old are you?
I'll be 39 here in a couple months.
39?
Yeah.
39?
And I squat.
He just look way older. That's all. He just look older as hell.
Motherfucker definitely got a 46-year-old face.
he just
got a 46-year-old face.
Kev, we got a Philly pivot, man. Y'all in the same territory right now. That's his shit. But growing up in Philly, like, take us back, man.
how do we get there?
By the way, it's going to be great no matter what.
Yeah,
but you got to understand, you can't let shit like that fly. Like, you just, when somebody randomly says things that are a little out of the door, you got to, what do you mean by that? Like, you have to make people explain certain things just so you know they hear it.
You know what? I did have a question by that because shit. I got caught up in the squat. What, who can regulate your jokes? That's what the whole sex colony question was.
Who can regulate my jokes?
Like, because is it your boys, is it your manager, is it your wife? Because my wife, that was the thing. When I started talking about the sex stuff on this show, and talking about me and my wife, and I play kitty cat. And I play dog, and she'll
spank me. Yeah, like he on the porch, and he dresses as a kitten. And she comes out and gets
him. And she comes and gets me, especially when it's raining, because I'm wet. Yeah. And she'll come get me from the door. And I like scratch on the door, and she'll open it up like an old woman, and she'll bring me in the house. And I'm
sick. He's sick.
I'm all
the milk in his mouth.
No, he's sick.
Yeah, and she'll have a little bowl of milk. Like, we have a good time.
That's not a good time. You're sick.
But, like, when I started telling those stories, my wife got mad, and it kind of ran me. Like, she's the only one in the world that can make me not tell a joke.
Yeah.
And the sensitivity with comedy right now,
basically was like, I don't like what you're doing. You shouldn't be talking like that about me.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with that.
And so I stopped it for a while. Yeah. Is there anybody in the world that regulates or stops your jokes?
I kind of feel like you just could have said that. Like, I feel like... I do. I feel like you just could have said, Kevin, when it comes to your jokes, is there anybody in your household or around that can make a decision for you to stop? I didn't need to know none. Everything that he said, if I could get that piece of my life back, I would. If you could tell me I could go back 7 minutes and get that back, I'll sign up right now. Right? Listen, when it comes to the understanding of sensitivity, I did overlook it for quite some time. You know, I talk about my family, vividly. Me. I've said things, I've put things out there, and, you know, my daughter checked me. My daughter's 17. My daughter had a talk with me, and she was like, Dad, you know, I'm at a point now where I go to school, and I don't want to be the conversation or I don't want to be the punchline, because at school that can go and grow into blah, blah, blah. Right. And it wasn't an argument. I respected her for her stance, her maturity. And I said, moving forward, honey, I won't do it. And I said, I'm glad that you said that, because I never thought of it that way. And, you know, same thing with ex-wife, son, wife. Like, it's a thing. So you got to be conscious of it all. We're in a sensitive time where you got to be aware of others' feelings and, you know, the context of what you say and how you say it. But comedy doesn't die. You can still be true to you. You can still perfect your craft and do it at a high level. You're just more aware. So I'm more aware, and I have been, but, you know, it's unfortunately just within time comes change. Right? I'm not fighting a change. I'm not here to take a stance of or do the unthinkable. That's not who I am or what I am. And for those that matter that are close around me, you know, I make sure that their presence is felt when they need it to be. My daughter needed it to be. So it's easy change.
Is that the difficult part, the joke parts? Or when we talked about living your life very publicly, and I think the thing that has made me a bigger fan of you, not just your talent, is your honesty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so many people, because you did become the family man, right? You did become the family man, and so many people try to only let the world in on that. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm having an issue, I'm gonna close up. Mm-hmm. And you and your wife spoke very vividly about the struggles, you know, you guys have dealt with.
Yeah.
Is that when you do speak publicly about those things, you know what, I made a mistake, and I'm trying to make up to my wife for this mistake I've made. I want to be better.
Well, here's the thing, like, even within these questions, it's not groundbreaking to understand that if a man fucks up, he wants to right his wrong.
Right.
We're not talking about algebra. We're not talking about the hardest problem to solve. We're talking about something that should be common sense, right? Damn. F***ed up. I gotta make it right. That's life. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. And by the way, everybody thinks they're invincible until they realize they're not, right? You really want to break it down to you. Nobody prepares you for the higher levels of success. Nobody gives you a book. You don't get a pamphlet. Mm-hmm. Here's fame and here's how to operate in it. I'm a part of a very small percentage. You know the crazy thing about this percentage that I'm on? Is only a few see from this POV. Well, with the other 98%, you see from that POV. Well, I've seen from both. I've been in the 98% and I'm now part of the 1%. You don't see from my side. I see from yours and mine. You don't. So the POV from the outside to the end, well, it doesn't go, the door doesn't go around completely. It's one-sided. So why would I fight or argue?
Is that where you get the, I can't believe it. Like you said earlier, like, oh my God, like he stepped out, like I can't believe it.
It's like, what are we talking about? Some debates aren't worth debating about. Right. Ho said some shit to me. It was so great. He said in the interview one time, he was like, you know, when you argue with a fool from afar, nobody knows who the fool is.
Because they're just here.
But you both look like a fool. Mm-hmm. So when you argue with a fool, and you're on the outside, and y'all both doing this right here. From afar, you both look like the fool. I don't know who's right or who's wrong. So some things aren't worth discussions. Some things are, yeah, you can process it how you want. Okay. I'm all right. I'll be okay. My concern is here. I focus over here. If I get this right, then I'm all right.
What was your childhood like coming up in Philly? So many.
I was a fucking thug.
For real?
No. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I mean, I want to get into it. Sorry. But it's so many great...
Sorry, I felt the moment. I had a moment to get into it.
Ton of great entertainers, I mean, musically, sports, you know, from Cunningham, a lot of great Philadelphia Eagles team, Sixers, Barkley back in the day. What inspires you? Like, local legends.
I mean, our list is long. I mean, you said two, and I really feel like you cheated us. You could have went a lot further.
Not really.
You can go AI, you want to go Dr. J, you want to go Barkley, you want to go Patti LaBelle, you want to go Roots, you want to go Music to Soul Child, you want to go Will Smith. I mean, you can literally go down a list of what's come out of Philadelphia. Talent, creative, we are a city, we breed them, right? We've done so, we will continue to do so. I think the dopest thing about Philadelphia, just understanding that it's a hard city to be in, period. And it's a hard city to make it out of. But we're a city that when we love you, we love you. When we love you, we love you. Yeah. You can't do no wrong. Mm-hmm. And in Philadelphia, I say this and I mean it. There's no embrace better. There's no embrace better. It's a rough city, man. We're a rough fucking city.
Who's your favorite rapper?
I mean, we had a great moment, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. Beanie Sigel. Mm. Beanie Sigel.
Freeway. Yeah.
He was Beanie. I don't want to say was. I hate saying was. Beanie made Philadelphia realize that other people were watching us. Mm. Right? Like when they signed Beans and Beans was rolling with. Beans had the album, Beans created the label. We saw them watch us.
Right.
They know, right? Like you see the way Meek move now, like, you know, people watch us. We're a conversation of our own. Mm-hmm. We are a breed of our own. We have, from style, from personnel, language, you know, we're a city that can stand on and we can be identified, like from Philly. Look at that beard, he's from Philly. Yeah. Got the Timbs on with the guy that's Philly. He just got the breads on. Like we have signature things that are attached. And I think, you know, those are culture specific things that you don't lose, you hold on to. So, you know, my love for my city is never going away. It's only going to grow. And I'm defined by that.
right? Yeah. International superstar, bro. Mm-hmm. World, universe-wide superstar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said it. Great dad, great husband, like everything you do. Your insecurities right now. What when you sit, chill in the shower, like do you have any insecurities right now? Bro, you know you got money. Like you're good.
Yeah.
But what's your insecurities right now?
I don't know why you have to make me naked. I think you can just say like
because I like people being naked.
You could have just said, Kev, what are you thinking about?
I was gonna ask you about the Tommy Hilfiger photo shoot.
Yeah, I know about that too. I just want to help you, just for the show.
If you're shooting draws, do you meet up before? Yeah. Do you meet up a little bit, get some blood flowing?
Here's the thing. No, I just want you to know that the exact same questions can be asked without any of it. You could just say, Kev, hey man, are there anything bothering you? Any insecurities that you're having currently today?
How would I
You didn't need the shower.
I was trying to do like when you're by yourself.
You could just say when you're by yourself. You just say that. Kev, when you're by yourself, have you ever thought? It's quick, it's easy, actually. But maybe so that, you know, as you, in this space, for you, I just want you to understand, same question. I don't have insecurities. I mean, I don't care enough to be insecure about, like, I'm not bothered. Life is, life is too dope. It's too dope that it's not promised. Caring about the shit that you can't control, that shit'll kill you. The one thing that the pandemic showed the world is that an idle mind is dangerous. Like literally sitting with nothing to do and just conjuring up or thinking all day. Like we didn't know the world of anxiety. We didn't know the world of mental health and how like real it was until pandemic or a little pre-pandemic. It really was like, oh shit. Oh, people are really going through. This is real. I don't give myself an opportunity to battle me with my thoughts about me. I've never done that. And to the people that do that or that are going through that, I understand what that world of pain and what that thing can be. So it's not a knock to it at all. I'm never putting myself in that position, I never have. So the things that would deem to be insecurities are, you know, you're talking about minor. I mean, I got a black toenail. At one point I wasn't taking off my socks, but then I was like, who gives a toenail?
The pinky?
I don't want to tell you.
I want to see.
No, I don't want to tell you. That's why I didn't want to tell you. I knew you were saying.
Hey, man, listen. Before Chan tried to get you naked, I love getting an opportunity to do this, but we understand that the most important thing a person can give you is their time.
Yes.
And we also understand that not everybody's time is worth the exact same amount. Mm-hmm. We know how much your time is worth. We know how much your space is worth. And for you to give us this time is truly the largest honor of this show. I've been around you before. I've never been around you in this space. I hope that people really understand that we got a piece of Kevin Hart, not just the entertainer, not just the mogul, but the human. And for us, we are truly blessed. I mean, thank you so much for sitting down, bro. It was truly a reality check for us. And
that's dope. Look, I mean it when I say it. Like, I fuck with what you're doing, but I want to see people win. I want to see people win. And if we can continue to find real examples of supporting one another, especially within our culture, if we can really define moments where like we're helping to elevate, amplify, that shit is contagious. After a while, you got no choice but to follow suit. Mm-hmm. I watched the Michael Beasley episode. fucking strong. Like when you when you're in that environment and you getting you're getting things that you're pushing out, but that are real care moments, real give a fuck moments. Mm-hmm. Well, those are things that you want to see people see more of. So I hope that this puts you in a position to get more, gain more, and it's not forced.
Right.
This ain't a chore.
Yeah.
I'm not like, let me go do this dumb shit. Here we go. It's fucking good. So shouts out to y'all. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
I don't know the world of what you do, but I'm gonna, or what you have, but I assume that this is your sponsor.
Yep.
Good shit. Get your money however you can. I love the people that with you. I'll send you guys a case just for you guys in life.
Also, too, one last question, though. Are you going to actually be, are the Eagles going to be good enough for you to get denied walking to the stage again?
Oh, yeah.
Or no?
That's a low blow. That white rep aside. Huh?
That's a low blow.
They let, low blow. I was on the field.
That was a very low blow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You was over there, though. You was there.
I could have. The thing is, I was only there to get the trophy. The trophy went by me. I didn't see it. The trophy went, it literally, they brought it this way and I was turned. And I told my wife, I was like, I'll be back. I wanted to see the trophy so I can get a picture. They fucking walked right by me. If I had been turned this way, I wouldn't have got denied because I would have had the trophy there.
Hey, you might go to camp this year, man. You want us to tell them anything for you? We got a training camp tour coming
up. If the Eagles get, I have no problem getting to the stage.
Okay.
It's Philadelphia. Okay. Uh-huh. It's where I was. Minnesota, that cold f-ing place. Okay, it's a lot. It's a lot that went into that moment. That hand on the chest, it hurt me for a while.
But Kat, why ain't you hit him with?
Motherfucker put a strong hand on my chest. Look me in the eye. He told me flat out, Kevin, you're drunk. No, that's all right. I remember going, all right. I turned around.
That was crazy.
You know why I was drunk? Because the tequila I was drinking wasn't Grand Cormino on it. This is not a commercial. Boy, oh boy. Nothing better than a Cristalino that comes from a place of love. Grand Cormino, celebrate your journey. Hard work tastes different. That Mino Lino took me 4 years to make this. If you don't know what a Cristalino is, I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's a clear reposado. That Mino Lino, get some. That's not a commercial.
Oh, hell of a sale.
My dog, appreciate you, man. Boy.
Appreciate you,
bro. Great. We got to go on vacation together.
Funny. Well, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I hit you up. We all ride. Hey, you know.
Get your AirPods never. Back there, bro.
We'll fly southwest.
Y'all want to take the pills.
I'll
take
the
white repo, that's crazy.
And great.
Whose idea was it?
Mine.
That's crazy.
What gives me a different space?
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap in it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On this vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap in it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission,